Welcome back to our Psalms of History series. This past Sunday, we were working our way through 1 Samuel chapter 22. And there's a few psalms that are connected with some of the stories we're introduced to in the very first part of that particular chapter. David, after his time there in the Philistine city of Gath, where he pretends like he's crazy and insane, and they end up sending him away. He escapes. David retreats to an area he was very familiar with. We're told that he comes, the beginning of that chapter, to the caves of Adullam. Adullam was in the region of Bethlehem, and it was a series of caves, which would make great hideouts if you were on the run from, let's say, the king or the armies of the king. David, this was an area he would have been very, very familiar with. David and his entire childhood grew up as a shepherd. Where? Well, in Bethlehem. And so these caves, this area, he was familiar with the terrain. He knew where to go. He knew the right places to stay. He ends up leaving Gath. He's still on the run from Saul. He comes to an area he's very familiar with. But keep in mind that David is entirely alone. He is on an island. What's next? What's his next step? The Philistines want to kill him. That much is clear. Saul wants to spear him. That is also clear. There are people, spies, that are willing to sell him out for a bounty. David is in a tough spot, and he's alone. He's by himself. Now, it's in the process of his time there in Adullam that word gets to his family that David is there, and they begin to fear repercussions from Saul. So they come to David. And then we're told like that a whole bunch of people that are misfits by the greatest example or definition, people that are in debt, distressed, disturbed even. 400 of these misfits end up coming down to David. He becomes their captain. They become kind of their own ragtag little army. But in the whole process of this, there are two psalms that are attributed to this season of David's life. The first we're going to look at is Psalms 142. The subtext, it's a plea for relief from persecutors. But it says a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And again, this could be attributed to his time there in Adullam. It begins, "I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble." So David's in a dark hole. Literally, he's in a cave by himself. He has no friends, no support structure. He has no clue what the next day will hold. He's on the run. He doesn't know that his family's on the way, that God was going to provide him a network of support, protection. But it's in this place that what does he do? He turns to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord with his voice, with his supplication. He brings his requests to the Lord. He even pours out his complaint. You know, it's okay to complain to God. It's okay. We're told to cast our cares to him, knowing that he cares for us. And that's what David's doing. He's pouring out his complaint. He's declaring to God his trouble. Verse 3, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." David's throwing a little pity party for himself. Not a real popular song to be sung, but one that's very, well, relevant in it. Relatable. Have you ever found yourself where you're all by yourself, all by myself, where you feel alone? Well, do what David does. Take these things to the Lord. Be honest. Bring them to him. Verse 5, "I cried out to you, O Lord, and I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. While everyone might have abandoned me and I'm all by myself, he reminds himself that he's not, that he's with the Lord, and the Lord is his refuge. My portion in the land of the living, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." you know, often it's in these points of depression that we need to remind ourselves that God is good. That God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And that he has our best interest in mind. We're told in other places that God works all things for the good. For those who love him, for those who are called according to his purposes, and that includes these times of despair or loneliness. And yet we must remind ourselves that we have a God that cares, a God that hears, a God that listens, a God that we can declare our trouble and even bring to him our complaints. But it's in that process of coming to God and God listening that we should remind ourselves that God is good. And God will handle the things that afflict us. This is not the only psalm, Psalm 142, that reflects David's heart during his time in the cave of Adullam. Psalm 57 also can be attributed to this season of his life. In fact, its prayer is titled A Prayer for Safety from Enemies. And then we read the subtext to the chief musician set to Do Not Destroy. Would have loved to have heard whatever that song was. And then this is a song of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Some attribute this psalm to possibly being written by David later when he goes to another cave there down in Gedi. But most scholars believe that this was attributed to his time there in Adullam. Keep in mind that David is not just fleeing from Gath, but he's ultimately on the run from Saul, which fits. Again, it begins, Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. You know, this, you go back to the Psalms that we looked at during his time in Gath. This idea of God being merciful, be merciful, is on David's heart through this whole season. That David realizes that he's in a tough place, that maybe he's not exactly where God wants him to be, that this idea of running may not have been the best choice, but this is the bed that he's made and he has to lie in it. And so he's coming back, not making excuses, not appealing for things he doesn't deserve, but he's asking God for his mercy. Again, mercy, that appeal reflecting contrition. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. I love the anthropomorphism there. In the shadow of your wings. Does God have wings? No. But I can imagine David sitting at the mouth of the cave, seeing the birds of the air, whether it be hawks or vultures, making their way through the sky, alone, uncertain, appealing to God's mercy. He then reminds himself, he says, in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. Maybe he looks up to the side of the cave, and maybe there's a nest where there's a mother bird that is protecting her young, reminding him of the fact that God is his protector, that God provides shade, that it's in you that I will take my refuge. Until all these calamities have passed by, verse 2, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. David realizes he's done nothing to wrong Saul. David didn't anoint himself king. God had. David had done nothing but try to be loyal and obedient, submissive to King Saul. David is on the run. It's not his fault that this is his predicament. He's crying out to God. He acknowledges that it's God who's in control, that God who can save, and that God would also be the one that would judge those who reproach him. My soul, verse 4, is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire. People were searching for David, not for his best intent, but for his destruction. He describes these people like lions. They are set on fire. There's this passion and rage. Those teeth, their spears, their arrows, their tongue is like a sharp sword. It says, Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. David was concerned about where he went, knowing that people We're lying in wait. We're trying to get him to make a mistake. He says, my soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they have themselves fallen. Verse 7, my heart is steadfast, O God. Again, this is a declaration that David is making. So often with these Psalms, David is pouring out his heart. He's being honest with his emotions. He's working through things, even theologically. But there's always these moments where David makes a decision, a declaration, a choice. He says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. You know, sometimes when we repeat something, we do it because the first time we said it, we really weren't sure about it. Have you ever done that? You know, I delight in the Lord. Do I? Yes. No, I really do. I delight in the Lord. My heart is steadfast. Yes. No, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory. Speaking of God. Awake. He speaks to his lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches into the heavens, and your truth into the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all of the earth. David gets his eyes off of himself. He gets his eyes off of his predicament. He gets his eyes off of his loneliness. And he puts his eyes to the truth, to the power, to the glory, to the majesty of God. And why does he do this? Again, he is reminding himself who his God is, how powerful his God is, how magnificent his God is, how his God is in the heavens. And as a result, anything below the heavens, God is very much in control of, including his plight, his predicament. David is in the cave of Adullam. Do you feel as though you're in a cave? And you're alone and you're by yourself. Maybe you've got the blues. You know what David does to get out of the blues? Is he praises God. He worships God. You know, from a real practical tip. If you feel melancholy, that's how I describe these moods that come over me. Just a little melancholy. I know I'm not alone, but I feel alone. I feel like I'm on an island, I'm in a cave all by myself. You know, one of the best things you can do is to turn on some praise music. I know that might sound cliche. My wife does this all the time. She loves to listen to worship music because it's in these moments that when we make a decision to praise God, that our heart is lifted up out of the despair, out from amongst the caves. It allows us to see things for as they are. And so I encourage you, you're in a cave. Praise God. Things could always be worse. If you've enjoyed this Psalm of the Histories, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. Not only can you follow all of these Psalms, but you can also watch the Bible studies that these Psalms are connected to, our Harmony of the Histories series. So check all those things out. God bless.